CliffCentral.com.
Ba ba da, ba da, ba ba. She works hard for my money, Anthea. She works hard for your money, Anthea. She works hard for her money, so we better treat her right, Anthea.
All right, here she is. Hi, Anthea. What's up?
Good morning. Still the only asset manager in the country with her own song.
Yes, damn right.
So I think the macro news that I'm going to tell you is probably not new. It's big news, you know. South Africa, second quarter GDP.
The big R word.
That's right.
Recession.
Yeah. So it's a technical recession. And I was going to come in on Friday and talk about how, remind you what a technical recession is and say, you know, BS to the technical word, it really is a recession. But actually this weekend I was in Hyde Park Shopping Center and there did not look like a recession. I could not find a table at my favorite restaurant. People were shopping bags. I was like, is the elite 1% of this country just absolutely not affected by this recession?
They aren't. No, it's
Anthea.
What's that?
It's called credit cards.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Good point,
yes,
Ben.
Yes, good point, Ben, that and people are living on borrowed money.
We'll talk about First Rand put out results later, and Ben's actually probably hit the nail on the head. But it's an interesting phenomenon that's happening. Like the consumer, either the consumer's just completely used to what's been going on for the last 2 years and doesn't care anymore and is still out there and shopping. I don't think we're going to shop ourselves out of a recession. We're not, the consumer is not that healthy. But yeah, it's interesting. Anyway, so the GDP contracted by 0.7%. And you know, the other problem with this is that emerging markets are under huge amounts of pressure, and that's got nothing to do with us. I think our recession, those are our own goals. But the emerging market problems we're having with Turkey and Argentina and the fact that we get lumped together with them, that's just bad timing for us. That's really unlucky. And of course, you've seen the rand, right?
Well, yes. Tell us about that. Where is it at the moment?
To the dollar, 15.27. To the euro, 17.63. And I bought euros a couple of weeks ago with a 15 handle.
Yeah.
Oh, I was like, what happened? And then the pound, 19.72.
Oh, it's getting close to 20, huh?
Mm-hmm. So this is not great. So this really puts the Saab in a very difficult position because the Reserve Bank targeting of inflation to 3 to 6%, to do that they need to raise interest rates. But with a weaker rand, an economy under pressure, I can't imagine that they would want to raise interest rates very soon, even though the weaker rand will obviously lead to higher inflation, especially with the oil price still firmly at the $75 or even higher level. And then, of course, Moody's came out, they downgraded our growth, and now we're all worried about whether or not we're going to get downgraded again. So this like perfect storm seems to be forming around South Africa.
Don't you wish
again.
Jacob Zuma was back? It almost seems like it was better.
Well, he's still available, so he says.
Right, exactly.
Jeez, yes, let's bring that back.
Yeah. All right. So, in other words, and the government, what about this ridiculous subsidizing the petrol price, which is going to save us like 5 cents a litre?
Yeah, well.
It's nothing.
So it's going to
go up again.
Well, exactly.
So they're going to save us 5 cents.
No, they're saving us 25 cents. They're putting the petrol price up by 5 cents a litre, and it should have gone up between 25 and 30 cents a litre. So they're subsidizing the 25 to 25 cents, call it. And you know it's costing us 400 million rand. So you think you're saving on petrol, but if you're a taxpayer, there's 400 million rand in that budget that is now a hole that needs to be filled. And of course, we've got October medium-term budget policy speech coming up. So the ratings agencies are going to be watching us very carefully.
All right, let's move on to the companies. Maybe there's
lots
some news
of companies. Lots of news there. So the first one was Super Group. I mean, so this is a supply chain management, fleet management, transport and logistics company.
Mm-hmm.
They bought a UK company called SG Fleet in 2016. They reported 154% operating profit recovery for the year. That is just phenomenal.
Some people know how to milk a dry economy, huh?
Incredible. They've done fantastically well to bounce back. It's a company that really struggled a couple of years ago. And so now they've managed to really make some sizable acquisitions. They've really got quite a strong balance sheet, so still sufficient resources to make more sizable acquisitions. They're on a one-year forward price earnings ratio of 10 times, and by now you know that that is cheap. So there's your stock pick of the week.
All right.
Super Group.
Tell me about Discovery.
Okay, so Discovery, wow, phenomenal set of results, believe it or not, in this environment. Normalized diluted headline earnings per share up 16%. No doubt that Chinese business, Ping An, doing incredibly well. Increased profits 84%. And this is now what? I mean, the third year I'm telling you about Ping An and how every year they just increase profits. They've increased Discovery, their disclosure, so their IRR, their internal rate of return came in at 26% compared to their risk-free hurdle rate of 10%. They've reduced their cash buffer a little bit from what, 2.1 billion rand to 1.7 billion rand, but still very comfortable. And then the other important thing about Discovery is that the registrar of banks has previously, because you know Discovery are applying for their banking license. Mm-hmm. So the registrar of banks said, well, actually, if they're doing that, they're going to have to buy First Rand's 25% stake in the Discovery card and take their Discovery card onto their own banking license. That's going to cost them a whopping 1.8 billion rand. They're not going to use the cash, don't worry. They're going to issue new shares to do that. They've still got time. And then, I mean, First Rand also reported also a fairly decent set of results, headline earnings up about 8%. But this is what was interesting that Ben noted on the credit card side, or the credit side, I should say. Retail advances increased by 7%. That's the best in all the four banks. I mean, in this tight economic environment, who is giving the consumer credit? Apparently, it's First Rand. So if you're looking for a loan. And then not only that, but they managed to lower their credit loss ratio. In other words, bad debts. I don't actually know how they're doing it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. All right. So let's hope Marcus Joost is in charge of their books, otherwise there's a problem.
Marcus, what a
douchebag. Did you hear
him? You saw
him
in Parliament.
Good Lord.
Oh, my.
Sounded like someone who just came out of... Yeah.
Totally.
And what's going on there? Did you watch that thing and did you have a tear in your eye?
Oh, my.
You couldn't believe you were lied to.
Could not believe it. And everything about it, you know, the way he wouldn't take responsibility for it, he's blaming everybody else. Mm-hmm. He has no shame, though.
None.
It's shocking.
And the fact that he sounds like he's just like crawled out of primary school education, tongue-tied and hardly able to string a sentence together. The guy's barely literate.
Well, we always knew that about him. I had a joke in the office because when he presents results,
he sounds so shit. Huh? Yeah. I didn't realize he sounded like that. He's like the kind of, sounds like a poor white.
Our favorite line is, over to you, Steve, in America.
Oh, shit. So you guys had jokes. Look at you. You guys had jokes, huh? Wow.
Not great.
All right, let's wrap it up with the rest. Capitec?
And the other thing, Capitec put out a trading statement, and they're saying that headline earnings per share will grow between 18 and 21%. And again, it has to do with this lower credit impairments or net interest income, which we're looking for. So, yeah, lots of companies reporting locally. We have to talk about some of the offshore stuff, Gareth. Have I got
time? All right, yes. You know what? You can go.
Okay. So first, I want to start with Amazon. Because they became the second $1 trillion listed U.S. company after Apple. It's only taken them 24 years.
Sure.
I know, right? There's so many interesting things about this because American retail spending is still 90% bricks and mortar, and yet Amazon is streaks ahead of the other companies.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
People are really buying into the idea.
Online shopping, are you saying?
Yeah, they're banking on that will be the way we all end up shopping. That's what they're really saying.
That's exactly right, yes. And that also that Amazon has this amazing propensity to consolidate and to grow. They've really spent their last 22 years reinvesting in the company. And it's only in the last 2 years that you've actually seen profits coming through and the real growth happening. If you added up the top 14
big bucks. Can you imagine not being profitable for 20 years? That's a tall order.
Yeah, it's big.
Stay in business. Not profitable for 20 years.
Not giving up.
Sure. I mean, that just shows you nothing happens overnight.
So, and if you added up the 14 top kind of big box retailers, they call them, so anything from Walmart to AutoNation, they would make up Amazon in its entirety. So change of guard there, right?
Right.
And then Jack Ma announced on Thursday or Friday, that he's stepping down as CEO of Alibaba to focus on philanthropy and his first love, education.
Well, wow. Yeah. All obviously, right. After beating Sia, that was the next possible step.
I beg your pardon?
Anthea, are you shocked that I hang out in these circles?
No,
yeah, a few weeks ago, yeah, while he was in the country, we spoke. I really told him that, you know, he must go back to his first love, and I'm glad he took my advice.
Look at that. Now, you've got an exclusive here. Sia was the one who put this idea in Jack Ma's head. Is that good for Alibaba? I mean, they must be a little upset that he's stepping down.
So, yes, I think Alibaba will come under pressure a little bit because of it. And it's, you know, he's not just going to walk away. He's got... kind of support in place, but it's a shame. You know, it's a company that he started in 1999, so it's taken him 19 years to build a $420 billion company. Not bad, actually.
Bad at all.
And he's only 54 years old. He says he might go back to teaching. And then, of course, lastly, our very own Enfant Terrible, Elon Musk. What is the boy up to? This time, yeah.
He went on Joe Rogan, which just shows you, first of all, how podcasts are now the thing, right? I mean, you didn't believe me up to now. Here's the proof that you've been looking for, douchebag. There were people, when we started this 4.5 years ago, said, there's no way this podcast thing will ever work. People don't have data. People are too expensive. Nobody knows how to use their phone. Well, look at this. Joe Rogan gets Elon Musk in there. Elon Musk smokes a fat joint on the show, and now people are losing their shit. Like, this has never,
totally.
It's never happened before. Like, people in California are allowed to smoke weed. You didn't realize that?
So I think if it had been a once-off incident, because you know he tweeted that he wanted to take the company private at $420 a share, right?
Right.
And if he had done that and the share was trading at about that level and then he'd gone and smoked weed, I think it would have been funny, actually. I think it would have been like a cool look at Elon Musk.
But he's accused of insider trading.
But that's the problem. Ah. So it's a combination of kind of now it's insider trading because the share was only trading at $369 a share when he announced this private takeout. And then he cried on some other show and said he was taking Ambien and that he's under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And then after his Joe Rogan episode, two of his top executives walked out.
Well, the umpire from the Serena Williams match has just called up and said he's going to dock Elon Musk a billion for having a meltdown.
Oh, no, that's already happened. The share's down 30% since his tweet.
30%?
So, yeah.
That is so interesting.
A couple of weeks, though.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks these
billionaires are such geniuses, and then they have very human things happen to them, and they do very human things, and suddenly they're just like us.
And interestingly enough, then we hold it against them, as you can see with
people. The
30%
Elon, Serena, pick your target. There's no superhuman in the world.
But then the stoners, avid stoner supporters supporters.
They don't have any money. The problem with the stoner voter base is they never get up off the couch and actually do anything. So if you're looking for them to vote for you or to put their money into your business, stoners never do anything.
Well, they can't except sit on the couch and eat.
Yeah, they've got the munchies and they're watching like 80s music videos and laughing the whole time.
So you're saying it's not okay for this stoner to run a $45 billion company?
Well, I don't know that he's a stoner. There are lots of functional.
No, he's not.
There are lots of functional drug users, but I think people are overreacting. It's just, you know, it's another. And he's doing this on purpose. He's an agitator. I think he's having fun. He's having fun. He's got billions of dollars. He's started and lost money. He's made money out of nothing. He's a genius.
Just an update, that Joe Rogan experience with Elon Musk on YouTube, 8.2 million views currently.
There we go.
That interview.
See? That's more than CNN gets every other week.
Every other year.
Yeah. It's absolutely
true. 8 million more investors for him.
All right. Thank you, Anthea.
Thanks,
very good. There's Anthea Gardner with the money shot. CliffCentral.com.